Rob leading our singing today. Brother McKnight is on a tour with the Sunshine Singers, and we're thankful to have as many men who can lead the singing and do a good job as Rob has done today. I will guarantee you that we will have more people next week at 6 o'clock than we have tonight. We're not having the 4:45 service next week. Next week is spring break. And during spring break, we usually just have one service on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And the elders have decided that this week, this coming week, at least during spring break, we will have only the one service, and it'll be at 6. So you won't have to remember that if you're here at 6, but the one at 4:45 will have to remember that. During the last two or three weeks, something has been presented on television that has caught my attention and impressed me. I suppose it is a public service announcement. It's a little girl about, 5 years old. And all of a sudden, you see this little girl on the screen, and there's a voice in the background that says, "If a stranger asks you to go with him, would you go?" And she says, "No." And the voice says, "Why?" And she says, "My mother told me not to." And then the voice says, "If you were to find a book of matches, would you strike one of them?" And she said, "No, I might set something on fire." And the voice says, "Why?" And she says, "My mother told me so." And then the voice says, "What about drugs?" And the little girl doesn't say anything. There's just sort of a blank look on her face. And the voice in the background says, "Children are listening. Are you talking?" When I heard that last statement especially caught my attention. Children are listening. Are you talking? And I'm pretty sure that it was put on there, especially to emphasize the need of teaching about drugs, but that it especially points to the fact that the parents have such a responsibility in teaching their children. David mentioned that in our prayer a few minutes ago. We thank God for the blessings and the opportunities that are associated with our families. And we need to do that perhaps more often than we do. I guess one thing that caused me to pay attention to what was said by this voice and this little girl is the fact that most of the time today we're emphasizing listening. Not uncommon for us to say, "Are you listening?" In fact, I know of some preachers that'll be preaching and all of a sudden they'll sort of stop and say, "Are you listening?" Trying to get the point across. But this one was a little different. Children are listening. Are you talking? I don't believe there's ever been a time that I can remember when being a good parent is more important than it is today. And if we're not careful, we will not see the great responsibility and opportunity that is given to us as parents. You see, when I was growing up as a youngster, I lived in a community where there was no church except the Church of Christ. There was only one man, I think, in the whole community that didn't go to church. A few of them were not members, but everybody went. I don't remember there being any immoral problems in the community, really, as such, at least any more than a few of the men who didn't live too far away would occasionally drink a little bit too much. But basically, as my parents were rearing me, they had the support of a community. Everybody in the community was basically teaching the same moral principles. And in this particular community where I was, the same biblical principles. The other families that lived in the community were teaching their sons and daughters basically the same thing my dad and mother were teaching me. They had the support of neighbors. I went to a one-teacher school inside of my house. I had the same teacher from the second grade through the eighth grade. When I graduated, I was at least salutatorian. There were only two of us in the eighth grade. But I'll tell you something, what our teacher taught us at school reinforced what our parents were teaching us. We had the help of the teacher in every sense of the word. And even when I went to high school, many of the teachers at high school were Christians. About 70% of my high school classmates were either Christians or lived in Christian homes. And I mean Christians in the biblical sense of the word. We had the support of each other. Everybody was really on the same note. That's not the case today. Parents do not have that same kind of support. Although I think we in Henderson and Chester County are far above average, even here we do not have the same kind of support that my parents had when they were talking to me and teaching me the things that I needed to know. And along with that reality, there is a sense, I think, today in which parents are getting away from their responsibilities and more or less leaving it to someone else. And the trends that are taking place in our time, some of them over which we don't have a lot of control, make it such that somebody else other than dad and mother are with the children a lot of the times and teaching them if they're being taught, instead of dad and mother carrying out their responsibilities. And I think it's time that we came back to this idea that's presented in what I mentioned a few minutes ago. Children are listening. Are you talking? And maybe we should say it another way. Children are listening. Who is talking to them? Where are they learning? Where are they getting the answers to their questions? And where are they learning the basic principles that will guide really their decisions for the rest of their lives? Children are listening. Are you talking? A few minutes ago, Al Jean read two verses of Scripture that you and I have heard for years and years. He read from a version that used some words a little different from the ones that we've probably heard as children, but the same idea. Fathers are told in Ephesians 6:4 to bring their children up in the right way and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and not provoke them to do the wrong things. And there in Colossians 3:21, he tells the fathers, be careful that you don't cause your sons and daughters to be bitter, that you don't provoke them to anger, that you don't cause them to be discouraged. And in those two verses, he really gives a lot. And we could use those two verses tonight and just discuss them and I think have a good lesson. But there's another verse that I want us to really observe tonight. It's one that most of you could quote. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I've heard that verse quoted all my life. I've heard some lessons taught from it that I think are not exactly right. I'm not for sure that I understand everything that's in the verse, especially the latter part of it. But I think we need to stop and look at it, and I believe just an analysis of this verse will help us to put in focus what was said in that little public service announcement. Children are listening. Are you talking? I want you to notice first the word train. There's more involved in training than just teaching facts. And we start with our little ones with those flashcards, and we get them to learn their colors, and then we get them to learn their ABCs. We get them to learn their numbers. Then we get them to learn words. And those facts are extremely important because we are establishing pegs on which ideas will be hung later. But if we just teach our children facts, they're not going to be equipped to go out into the world. I was certified to teach mathematics when I graduated college. I taught 8th grade math 2 years. I think I would enjoy teaching math even now. Math is more of a factual science. 2 + 2 = 2. What I believe to be one of the best things you can teach young people about math is that you can do anything to one side of an equal sign that you can do to the other side, an equation. One thing to either side, as long as you do the same thing to the other side, you can do anything to it. If you can get children to understand that principle, that helps them in math, and I'll throw in the math lesson tonight free. But anyway, you can teach facts. You can teach children to memorize the presidents of the United States and the states that are there and the capitals of the states, and all that's well and good. And we can teach facts from the Bible. We even ask, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You can believe that as a fact, and it really not be worth a lot to you unless you go further. As indicated in Hebrews 11:6, we must believe that he is, that's the fact, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is said of Abraham back in Genesis, the 18th chapter and verse 19, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Not just the fact that God exists. He said Abraham's going to teach them about justice and judgment. Isn't that suggesting that training involves some attitudes as well as some facts? Teaching people to have the right attitude as well as facts, and to have the right lifestyle. It's interesting to me in 1 Timothy 4, where after in verse 12, Paul tells the young man Timothy to be an example of thy youth while you're a young person, that he comes down to verse 16 and says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And I sort of read into that when he said, take heed to yourself. Look at your mind and look at your body. Look at the moral principles that govern life, and then also look at the facts that are taught in the Bible, the teaching that's there, that's God's doctrine. You need to look at yourself and the doctrine. That's the kind of training that is needed today. We need to teach more than facts. When I was in Brother Robert Witt's math classes in Fried Hardeman back in 1900 and none of your business, I remember him telling us one day about a man, a young man that lived up in Kentucky somewhere. And he said, this young man can stand by the railroad track as the cars go by at regular speed, and he can add up the numbers that are on those boxcars. But he doesn't have enough common sense to get in out of the rain. Now, I think when we put these things in focus and consider them, you see what I'm talking about tonight. He says that we need to train, not just teach, but to train. That involves some moral principles. That involves some factual evidence. That involves having the right kind of respect toward the way God created us. Take heed to yourself, and also to the teaching that God has given to govern how we deal with ourselves. And folks, the commandment to train is given to parents, particularly. But he says in that verse, train a child. A child. When I look at those words, I sort of get the idea that he's saying start early enough. I appreciate the way so many of our younger parents here will begin bringing the newborn to worship and Bible study just as soon as they can. We had one just recently that was here less than a week old. These little boys and girls that are being brought like this will never remember when they were not in Bible study and worship, if things continue as they should. I appreciate the teachers that are in those little classes downstairs. I appreciate, first of all, their patience. And I appreciate their taking these little ones when they're 6 months old, give or take, and they begin to sing and talk about different facts and different ideas. And we may not even know yet how much those little ones are absorbing of what is being presented to them. And then as they come on through each class, you just stop and think about what goes on within the walls of this building and the other buildings here, where a baby can begin in a class here and go through a class, many of them just one age in the class, and if not two ages, go through our teenage curriculum, graduate from high school. Look at what's been here to be taught in our classes. And frankly, I just don't understand how anybody could say they love their son or daughter and not have them in Bible study Sunday morning and Wednesday night and every other time if it is reasonably possible to have them there. And start when they are a child. Train a child. Start early enough. Some say now that we learn our basic principles before we're seven. I've even read surveys that suggest that maybe before we're three and a half. that we learn most of the basic principles that will guide us later on. Of course, some meat will have to be put on the skeleton of those principles. But we may not even know yet how early we learn and how early we can learn. And I believe God had that in mind when he said, train a child. Train a child. And if that child is yours, that's your responsibility. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward, Psalm 127. That passage goes ahead to say that blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them, because a child is like an arrow in the hands of a mighty man. And when I read that, I like to think of the archer that's shooting from a bow an arrow toward the target. He's got to aim it, he's got to send it in the right direction, and he's got to send it with the right speed under the right circumstances in order to hit the target. That's exactly what it means to train a child. Dads and mothers, you cannot start too early. But then look at the little word up. Train up a child. And that might reinforce the idea of starting early, but I think it says more than that, that it says we need to continue long enough. Train up. Train him until he's up. And when's he up? I don't have an answer, a clear-cut answer to that. I will say to you younger ones here tonight, as long as you put your feet under your dad and mother's table, you need to continue to listen to their instructions. And even after you remove your feet and you're on your own, I think you need to listen. My dad died last August. For the last 3.5 years of his life, because of a stroke, he was not really at himself. I'm just now beginning to realize how much I miss his wisdom. It's hard for me to stop and think I'm the oldest male in my dad's immediate family now. There were times when he said things he didn't realize that they meant something to me after I was already in my 30s and 40s and 50s. My dad had only an 8th grade education formally, but he had experience and he had some knowledge that I didn't have. And even after I had children of my own, without his realizing it, he was still teaching me and helping me. He was still helping me to go up at that time. Our youngest daughter will be 34 Tuesday. I still try to help in any way that I can in training and teaching. Oh, two of our daughters are married now. They even have heads of the family in their own families, but it doesn't mean that I quit being interested. It doesn't mean that I quit trying to help if there is a reasonable way, not to overdo it, but to try to help. You just don't quit training, really. Train up a child, and when he's going up, train him up, train him, teach him. Teach him moral principles as well as facts. And then look at that verse and it says, train up a child in the way. Not just any way, but the way. And he tells us what that way is, the way he should go. And you can just almost read between the lines and he's saying, train him up in God's way. That's the way he should go. Notice he didn't say, train him up according to the polls. Oh, we've come to the point now that so many of our decisions are made by the polls. What does everybody think? And I'm not just talking about the political realm. You listen to young people talk. Dad, mother, everybody's doing it. Let me do it. What is that? That's polling. That's taking a poll and suggesting how many people do something and don't do it, and it's either done or not done or right or wrong because of that. No, he didn't say you train him up according to the polls, according to the popular opinion. And he didn't even say train him up in the way he wants to go. There was a good discussion in the primetime class this morning about God. And one of the points that was made was sometimes one reason we may have trouble understanding God is we may think in terms of God always doing what we want him to. That's not what that passage said. He didn't say train up a child in the way he wants to go and support him in the way he wants to go. He said train him up in the way he should go. One version that I looked at as I was sort of running these verses through different versions, sometimes that helps me to look at the overall picture, said train him in the requirements of life. Train him in the requirements of life. Sometimes if we train a child in the way he wants to go, and maybe even sometimes in the way we want him to go as parents, we may not help him to be ready for the requirements of life. Train him up in the way he should go. God's way, the right way, Abraham, he said, justice and judgment, that which is just, that which is balanced, that which is right, that which is fair. Help him to know the difference between right and wrong. Now, we said four things so far. We've said that there's training more than teaching. A child, start early enough, up, continue long enough, in the way he should go, point him in the right direction, which is God's direction. And then he says there are some results. And this is the part of the verse that's given people so much trouble. When he's old, he will not depart from it. I've heard people that say that that means that if you train a child right, he'll never leave the church. He will never really leave the right kind of life. He'll never make any big mistakes. I don't believe that's what that passage is saying. Because I've seen too many instances, and you have too, where a child has been brought up in a good family, good teaching, the support of the church, even the support of the community, and has gotten with the wrong crowd or other factors and has gone astray. I don't believe that's what that means. I've heard others try to explain it and say that it means that if a child goes astray, that means his parents are to blame and they did not do what they should have done. Well, it may be that all of us as parents have fallen short. I'm pretty sure all of us have, but I don't believe that's what that passage is saying. And I don't believe that we need to put parents on a guilt trip just because a child makes mistakes. Because none of us, you know, I'm about the only one's got perfect kids. Just about the only one. Now, while I say that in jest, let me stop to say I'm appreciative of our children. And at this point, all of them are faithful to the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. But they've not been perfect. They've not gone into any big problems, as far as I know, but they've had their problems, just like yours have and everybody else's have. And I don't believe that when they had a problem that it necessarily meant that I was guilty and to blame because I had not instructed them enough on that problem. There are other factors involved. Let me tell you what I believe that passage does mean. As I said, I'm not sure I understand it all, but at least I can put everything together with this approach. I believe he's saying when you train up a child in the way he should go, when as parents you do your dead level best, teach and train your children with God's help and whatever other support that you can have, and continue in that and teach him in the way that's right, that he'll never get old enough that he can get away from that teaching. When he's old, he shall not depart from it. I believe the it refers back to the training. That he will never be able to get away from that training that he's had. That doesn't mean he won't make mistakes. And it doesn't mean necessarily that he won't go far away. But it means as long as there is life, if he's had this training instilled in him as a child, that he's going to have that in the back of his mind. He can never get away from it. And somewhere, in some cases sooner and in some cases later, that there is a good possibility that that training will be there to bring him back. I've seen that happen in our midst. I could give you some examples in our own church family. Some of our young people have gone astray, some of them pretty far astray. But they still had that teaching in the back of their minds and they've turned around. And maybe some of them haven't completely turned around yet, but we know that that teaching is there and we know that there's something there that's going to be a valuable factor in probably bringing that person back to the right way before it is too late. I can make everything jive in this verse with that approach. That if we train proper teaching, instruction, moral principles, attitudes, we start early enough, we continue long enough, and we always focus on the right way, not necessarily where I might want him to go or where he might want to go, but where God wants him to go, that no matter what else happens, that teaching and that training is going to be there and serve as a factor to keep us on the right road and to bring us back to the straight and narrow way when we go astray. But the bottom line of it, folks, and the point that I don't want you to miss tonight, above everything else, is that this responsibility is given basically to parents. Will our young people be able to defend the truth of God's word when they're asked questions at school this week? If they're asked about the plan of salvation and is it necessary to be baptized for the remission of sins, can they defend that? If they're asked about the subject of social dancing or social drinking, will they be able to understand how important the body and the mind is and get down to those important factors in answering questions like this? Or will they sort of let it go by or maybe laugh at what has been taught in the church? It's going to come back to us as parents, and it's our responsibility. If you mothers will start sitting down with your little daughters and teaching them respect for the body and the mind and other things, and fathers with your sons and vice versa as we can, there's something that we can do as dads and mothers that nobody else can do for us. And that's what I thought about when I heard that statement with this little girl looking with a blank look on her face. Children are listening. Are you talking? And I would magnify that just a bit tonight by suggesting, are you talking with your life as well as your mouth? Are your sons and daughters seeing the way they should go in you as well as hearing the way they should go from your lips? If not, you need to think about the Lord's invitation even now as together we stand and sing.
Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads all.